There can be no doubt that Jesus, as he describes his followers, does so from the standpoint that we are to make an influence upon our world. We're to make a difference with the people that we come in contact with. That is impossible unless we see ourselves as being that salt and being that light as well. We have already stated the fact that if you have served in the military in any form or fashion, you are honored guests, and we appreciate so much what you've done for our country. But there is no doubt a greater honor bestows upon those who are soldiers of the cross. Those who continue to fight the good fight of faith, and they continue to try to wield that example that they should. The meaning of this light is evident if we see ourselves looking at these. These lights can either be bright or they can be dimmed. Based upon the fact of how much wattage they might have or how much electricity is being supplied to them, they're either going to decrease or increase, and so it is with our lives. When we think about the influence and the power that we exhibit, so much of it relies upon the fact of this book, of us studying it and reading it because of the statement in Romans 1 verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's no doubt with the water shortage that many of these plants that produce electricity may be wondering, how are we going to keep up with production? How are we going to continue to supply the needs? Because they have to have a source of power in order for us to receive the benefit of it as well. This morning we're going to study about five things by which we need to see that our influence and our ability to be a light is going to be seen. Let your light shine. Because Christianity isn't something as described here that you need to take and you need to hide it. You don't put it under a bushel. You don't need to cover it over. You don't need to be afraid to let your light shine. First of all, as we have gathered this morning, we need to let our light shine when it comes to worship. Regrettably, there are those who aren't concerned about worship. They have no concern about letting their light shine. And it's great that you're here. We appreciate so much, and God expects us to be here. John 4, verses 23 and 24. God seeks such to worship Him. God wants us to worship Him, and yet at times we don't let our light shine. And we become a source of discouragement maybe to others because we aren't that concerned about worshiping God. I'd like to spend a few moments, if you'd open your Bibles, in Acts chapter 17. As Paul comes into the city, he sees that these people are very religious. The King James uses the word superstitious, but it means that they are very religious. From the standpoint that he sees idols all throughout the city and that they are worshiping individuals. But their light really wasn't shining because Paul says, I want to declare unto you this God whom you ignorantly worship, the unknown God to you. Therefore, they needed to find some correction. They needed some straightening out, so to speak, about who they were worshiping and how they were worshiping. And he says there, I want you to know that this God hath made of all nations. God's responsible for our world. God is responsible for everything that is in effect. But they were ignorantly worshiping. Therefore, Paul says, even as one of your own poets has said, in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our very being. That is, we owe a lot to God. We have every responsibility to God, and in that, we need to let our light shine by worshiping Him acceptably. But just as many times you might go and you'd flip a light switch off, you know the effect. It's not doing any good. Brethren, when we come together, it ought to be for the purpose that we joyfully want to worship God. In Psalm 122, the statement was made by David, I was glad when they said to me, come, let us go to the house of God. Sometimes we think of worship as being a drudgery. It's just a forceful thing. We just have to do it. And And our light doesn't shine, does it? But when it comes to loving God as we should, as Paul tried to correct those people, when we know who God is, then we definitely will want to let our light shine when it comes to the matter of worship. But second of all, when it comes to the matter of letting our light shine, what about our words? Our words have a lot of influence over people. The things that we say and the way that we say them have a lot of impact. What about letting our light shine when it comes to our words? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says that our speech ought to be seasoned with grace. That is, just as we will in a short while go downstairs and partake of a meal together, and hopefully you're staying. You may say, well, you know, that doesn't taste quite right, and you'll sprinkle some salt on it to enhance the flavor, or some pepper or some other seasoning. So it is, as Paul describes our words, we need to season them in the right way, and he says you need to do it with grace. Because have you ever lost a friend because of something you said? Or the words that you chose to speak to that individual? Or maybe a deal has been broken? We know the power of words, and we know their impact and their effect. And yet at times we may say, well, you know, I just couldn't hold my tongue. Or I just couldn't keep from saying that. Or I just flew off the handle. And all the while it's simply a fact that we have not been letting our light shine by the words that we've used. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to use God's word and to speak it, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. God wants us to speak the things that we should, and we need to know how to do it. Because so many times we've regretted what we've said. Oh, there are times that we say the things the best way that we know, and that's great. But we need to understand the power and the influence of words. Jesus looked to His disciples and said, by your words you shall be justified. By your words you shall be condemned. That is, our words are either going to be a savor, a sweet smell, an aroma unto life or death. Which one is going to be ours? Are we going to let our light shine when it comes to our worship? Are we going to let our light shine when it comes to our words? Third, we need to understand that our light needs to shine by our wardrobe. That is, the way that we dress, our attire. Because we may not dress like a Christian. And somebody may look at that person and say, well, if they can dress that way, then what's wrong with it? The Bible, from beginning to end, speaks about the need of being dressed properly. Because we do say something about ourselves. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, because they have partaken of that fruit, it says of their eyes that they were open, and they knew that they were naked. Therefore they put together some fig leaves and tried to cover themselves, but God said that's not enough. So He made for them robes, tunics, garments that would cover from the shoulders down to the knees, as way it's described. But then you go all the way to a spiritual meaning in Revelation chapter 3 of the Laodiceans, which said, you know, we have need of nothing. We've got everything in life that we need, and nothing else needs to be provided. But Jesus said, I counsel thee to go and buy. Why? Why did they need something else? Because do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, naked, and blind? Spiritually, they needed to be covered up. And physically, we need to understand that very same principle. Because we need to be those who let our light shine. Women adorn themselves in modest apparel, 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 3, it is not the putting on of gold or braiding of hair, but it's dressing initially that inward man. Because if we take care of the inside, then the outside is going to take care of itself. We'll want to be modest. We'll want to wear the wardrobe. We'll want to represent Christ as we should. Is our light shining? Are we representing Christ as we should? Fourth on the list, we need to understand, we need to let our light shine by our watch, by the time that we have, the time that we use. 168 hours out of the week, that's all that we have. 60 seconds, 60 minutes, 24 hours out of the day. Are we going to let our light shine by the time that we have our watch? There are a lot of important things in this world, but there is nothing more important than serving God. As a Christian, we never are able to say, you know, I'm off the clock now. I can go punch my card and now I'm going to get to take a break. Or, you know, there's a time that I can just say, well, you know, it doesn't apply to me anymore. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, Luke 9:23. Time is so important to us, isn't it? We want to know, how much am I going to get paid an hour? What's my weekly salary going to be? What am I worth because of time? Well, the fact is that our time spent for Christ is immeasurable. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. That is, somebody in this world may say, I want what he's got, and I don't care how long he's had to work for it, how much time he's had to put in to get it, I'm going to steal it from him. They can't do that when it comes to your spiritual labor. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. That is, you know, sometimes the bosses don't recognize you as they should. You may not get that bonus or that raise. God's not that way when it comes to serving Him. God wants us to know that when we work for Him, it goes straight to the bank of heaven. It is already there and waiting for us. But it takes time. Take time to be holy. The song had it right, didn't it? We take time to do a lot of other things. We'll plan out and we've got things mapped out what we're going to do years and years and years in advance. But what are we going to do for God? What is our time going to be spent for Him? When it comes to letting our light shine, it takes time. Now I imagine as you go to the store and you go to purchase light bulbs, you may read on the outside of those, good or guaranteed for so many hours. That is, they're letting you know that it may burn out. It may not last. Are we going to burn out as Christians? Are we going to say, well, you know, I've just put in so much time. I've worked so hard. I've done all of this, so nothing else. We're like that light bulb who's going to go out. Our watch, our time must be devoted to God. It's nothing wrong with going out and playing football. But you need to do it as a Christian. There's nothing with having a job, but you need to understand, do it as a Christian. Because our time belongs to God first and foremost. Are we letting our light shine when it comes to worship? Are we letting our light shine when it comes to our words? Are we letting our light shine when it comes to our wardrobe and our time, our watch? Those are questions that we all have to individually answer, and God knows about us. Finally, when it comes to the matter of our wealth, this past Friday evening, as usual through the month, I spoke at Tutwiler Prison. I gave a lesson about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, and one of the points was on possessions. Now here you have ladies who are incarcerated in prison. And you might say, well, you know, they don't have a lot. Everything that they do usually is provided by the state, so what do they have? They have more than most people in the world. Because they've got heating, cooling, they've got lights, they've got a bed, they've got all this. The point is that we need to understand our light needs to shine when it comes to what we consider our wealth. Ephesians chapter 4, 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hand that which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. That is, let your light shine when you work. You're able to do good. You're able to help. You're able to be benevolent toward others. That's a way to let our light shine. Because most of the time, people aren't going to care if we have the truth until they know that we care about them. So we have clothes that we give away. We have food that we give away. We help with people in need. Why? Because we want to let our light shine. We don't want to hide it. God has blessed us tremendously. Look at the responsibility stated by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Two different sections of it, first of all. 9 and 10 and then 17 and 18. They that would be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. For money is the root of all evil. Now some of you raised your eyebrows because I didn't quote it right. It's not money that's the root of evil. It is the love of money. And therefore that money possesses the person rather than the person possessing the money. So they fall into a trap. They fall into a snare. Satan has deceived them and it catches them. They're going to drown. They're going to die. But look at the right responsibility. Verses 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world's goods, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth to all men. There's the right attitude when it comes to the matter of our wealth and letting our light shine. We can use our money for a lot of things. Sometimes it's neither right nor wrong in them. But then there are some things that are definitely wrong. That we don't need to use our wealth. We don't need to use our money to support or to encourage or to help with. Because it will not result in the light shining. It will not result in good being done. Let your light shine. Some people have never turned on their light. They've never, ever become a Christian. They have never submitted to the gospel of Christ, and therefore their light's out. You walk down the aisle and you see all those bulbs. They could do a lot of good, couldn't they? They could accomplish a lot in a dark world, but they're just sitting on the shelf. Sometimes people are just sitting there and doing nothing. Why? Because they have never been connected to the source of power. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If any man will walk in me, he shall not walk in darkness. John 8, 12. This morning, is your light shining? The question is not, does it have the ability to? The question is it? There are lights within each one of these canisters. They're not burning. Oh, you may see some light, but the ones that are directly underneath it, they're not on. And they're not serving any purpose right now. If you're not a Christian, then what purpose are you serving? This morning you can become a child of God and you can burn brightly. Who did the light bulb? I lost my mind. Graham Bell. Is that right? All right, you know who it is. Never mind. You know who he is. Edison. He went through how many different filaments trying to find the one that was going to last. He'd light one up, burn out. Light another one, maybe last a little longer. But it wasn't until finally he came to the last one that would find the ability to burn not only long, but the brightest as well. You see, when we become a Christian, we don't have to burn out. We don't have to allow anything to overcome us. this morning, if you're not a Christian, you have the ability but have not come to use it yet. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God so that you can let your light shine. How do you do that? It's by faith. Through repentance of your sins, confessing Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's how one becomes a Christian. How one initially gets the ability to let their light shine. But sometimes Christians either cover their light or don't want to shine as a light. That usually comes from this problem, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. They who have escaped the pollution of the world have become entangled again therein. They've gone back to the world. And they don't want to be known as a Christian. They don't want to let their light shine. But that passage says, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. This morning, are you letting your light shine? Are you going to keep on letting it shine? If you're not a Christian this morning, we encourage you to be obedient to Jesus so that He can forgive your sins. If you're not faithful to our Lord this morning, then we want you to come back because people are depending upon the light you ought to be shining. And they may be lost because of that. If you as a child of God have sin in your life, we would be glad to pray for you this day. If you're going to repent and confess that. Jesus invites you this morning and we encourage you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.